You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
We continue our conversation all about Christmas. It's a new day if you want it to be, and I'm with Pastor John Robbins.
Yes, sir.
And he is the pastor of?
St. Paul's.
St. Paul's, which is an Anglican church on the beach here in Vero Beach.
Yeah.
And he is a spirit-filled, people-loving pastor.
Jesus-loving, Bible-loving.
Have a healing service every Thursday at noon.
Yeah.
And there's no perfunctory action needed to be taken. There's no pageantry. There's no, which is unusual. Isn't that unusual for, because I've been in other Anglican churches, and honestly, I don't like the tightness of it. Mm-hmm. You kind of don't have the tightness. You still have the standing up, the sitting down. I kind of hope you'd get rid of that. There's a lot of that. But there's also right. things, it's kind of nice to give reverence and allegiance. In other words, when you're going to read the Bible, they all stand up, say a prayer. And, yep. you know, there's nothing wrong with pageantry as long as pageantry is not worshipped, you know. And but we started our conversation. We've had a great first 2 day segments, and I'm looking forward to this because you said we have some more things to expound on in the book of Luke, and Christmas is upon us, and it's a great time of the year.
Luke chapter 2, and it's the greatest story ever told. And, in some ways, there's a temptation for preachers and teachers to somehow add to the word somehow. There have been certainly times in my own life when I thought, they've heard this story before. Mm-hmm. And so you're tempted to somehow tweak the story somehow when the story all by itself is so powerful. I mean, the more you pull back the layers of what's going on with Joseph and Mary and the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and the whole thing is just, it's majestic beyond our wildest dreams.
And look at the prophecy. I think it's Isaiah where he said, he shall come out of Bethlehem and then be delivered out of Egypt and yet be called a Nazarene. Now, that's a very complicated vision,
right.
prophecy of the future. That's what, 600, 700 years before Jesus is born.
Yeah.
And there he goes. They're forced to come from, where did he come from? The town he's from?
Nazareth.
Nazareth. And they go into Bethlehem. Oh, house of bread. There from you shall come forth, blah, blah, blah. And that's what Bethlehem means, house of bread. And then they were forced to go into Egypt until the angel appeared and said, okay, the enemy of the child is dead. Herod, and you can come back now.
You're safe to go home.
And so he was called an heir. Very complicated scripture.
Egypt I shall call my son.
Yeah. He shall be born in the house of bread, be called out of Egypt, and yet be called a Nazarene.
Now, born in the house of bread, the bread of life was born in the house of bread. Can't make that up.
And he says, I am the bread of life.
Right, exactly.
No man come to the Father except by me. So it's just simply amazing how God controls any circumstance. You and I have lived long enough to know there's been miraculous encounters. I know you've had. I know I've had them.
Yeah.
And immaculate timing.
Yeah.
We're praying for something. Sometimes you think, are you ever going to come through? But trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And I want to ask you this. Why does he respond to faith? In other words, it says it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, it's possible to please God. I wonder why he's so tickled by faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my sense is, faith in a very simple way is believing in God and believing in his promises and believing that he exists. And you only need faith as small as a mustard seed. And yet, when you step out in faith and do what he's calling you to do, you see, he can move mountains in your life, and especially at this time of year, this season, it's absolutely crucial for us and the church to encourage people. He says, "Seek me. When you seek me, you will find me.
When you seek me with all your heart.
Yeah.
When you seek me with all your heart.
And that's Jeremiah 29:13.
And
I think really the greatest Christmas gift that anyone can receive would be to have a personal encounter with Jesus. And Jesus wants to do that for every single person who's listening to this broadcast.
And it's amazing the appetite, what's happening. I know particularly with young men and girls, they're coming. There's an explosion on the internet, not seeking pornography now, coming to their senses. Maybe they've had enough of that, whatever. And they're seeking out. They want all kinds of, like, what is it? Pray.com says they're getting 10,000. I was on the phone with them. I think they told me 10,000 a day.
Yeah.
I mean, of people joining up. And it all happened accidentally. Just the guy wanted to encourage himself, and he never expected this to happen. So it wasn't a manipulation. It wasn't done for filthy lucre. It was done to encourage himself, encourage a few friends, and it takes off, you know. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I think that was a matter of time before people, and especially young people, found that the lies that were being fed to them, that somehow all the craziness of that youth culture, emphasis on drugs and attention and sex, that somehow that was going to satisfy the deepest needs of the human soul. And so I think that many of them are coming to a place where they're realizing, oh, there is this void in my heart that has not been fed by these other things. And so they're beginning to reach out and look to God. And I think specifically the God of the Bible to fill that.
Well, as I've said a gazillion times on this show, but in case it's new for somebody else, I was involved in Eastern religions at the age of 14. I was a seeker of truth, read autobiography of a yogi, Satchitananda and all that stuff. I went at 16, went to Boston to get inducted into transcendental meditation, had to bring flowers for the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, right. You know, and all that stuff. And, of course, now later on in life, they'll tell you that meditation is not a religion. It's a science that people study. And even it says in the Bible, Jesus meditated. I don't know where that goes. I'm not endorsing or I'm not endorsing. I do know when I sit quietly and empty my mind and I'm more contemplative, which I do not do habitually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you hear from people like Jerry Seinfeld, and it's very popular around the world now that people are starting to meditate and finding more peace in their life. So whatever that is, I don't know when we rest our minds. But it's also, isn't it like kind of like listening for God? I'm always rattling off, as you know, I have a proclivity for loquaciousness.
Right.
But we need to listen more. Hello, Rhett.
Right.
So,
yeah, the season of Advent is really
what does that mean?
The season of Advent. Advent is basically Latin for coming or arrival.
Adventure.
Say that again.
Adventure.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. And actually, the connection between Advent and adventure of something that I didn't make that connection until just the last few days. But anyway, the bottom line is, this is a time of preparation when we prepare for the coming of Jesus. And in some ways, you know, our focus many times during this time of year is for the coming of Christmas, meaning his first coming or his first arrival. But there's also a theme during Advent of preparing for his second coming.
Sure. And you can, you know, folks, you can refute the birth of Jesus and say, well, it didn't happen in December. Well, I don't know when. It doesn't really matter. Right at this point, what matters is the fulfillment of the scriptures. And here's the really cool thing: getting back to one of the lowliest jobs you could have was being a shepherd.
Right.
So now here's God. Listen to this, folks. And I hope some poor folks see. Oh, that's why I came on today. God makes some people poor to realize how rich they are, and some people rich to realize how poor they are. Well, that seems kind of complicated. What are you saying there, Rhett? Well, I'm saying, some people acquire great amounts, and I actually believe I've been given this by the Lord, great amounts. And he said some people have to have a lot, become very rich to find out how poor they are. In other words, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the poor. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Actually, in Luke, it does say, blessed are the poor.
Yeah, blessed. Oh, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Blessed are the poor.
So he apparently said both of those things. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And then in other contexts, he said, blessed are the poor.
Well, there's been times in my life where I did very well. I never thought I owned my big expensive home on the water. Mm-hmm. I always said, this is on loan from God.
Yeah.
I know I am the steward of this.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, my arms, my legs, my genitalia, my hair on my head, which, by the way, you've been taking away lately. But anyway, he owns everything.
Right.
And so I think maybe that's what it means. In other words, the poor. Are you poor in spirit? So anyway, here are these guys. They're out shepherding. And they have lamb doo-doo on their feet.
Right.
The angels are coming to declare the coming of the Messiah.
Right.
Do they show up at the royal tent? Do they show up at the castle? Do they show up in front of the rich, the famous of the age?
No.
It's so beautiful. You show up to these guys.
Right.
Behold, the Son of Man has come. Oh, the singing of a host of angels, a heavenly host of angels. Who are we that you should take notice of us?
Right. Yeah, and so he's sending this powerful message that, yes, Jesus loves all people, but the Lord has a particular heart for the poor and the marginalized. And, of course, this is one of the themes of the season, but the shepherds, of course, were marginalized. They were, in essence, sadly rejected. They were on the lowest rung of the social ladder because, as you said, they were constantly walking around the sheep droppings, which made them spiritually unclean.
Oh, the Jews had the cleanliness thing, yeah.
Yeah, so they were not allowed, even though they were raising the lambs, which were going to be used as the Passover lambs without
blemish. Let's not pass right over that, because here Jesus is born in Bethlehem,
right,
and that in the manger, where maybe some of the lambs are cultivated for the future Passover they had annually to take away the sins of the people.
Right.
Wow. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Well, what a coincidence. And he was born where those sheep were reared.
Where they're raising the Passover lambs, as shepherds were overseeing their flocks by night. That's where they were doing the work that they were called to do. And once again, these shepherds were spiritually unclean. So here are these guys who were not allowed to worship in the temple. They could not be there. And yet they were the first ones to hear the good news that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, had come and had come for them, And it's just a powerful, powerful story. And it hopefully speaks to every person in the audience today who's thinking, oh.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Oh, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave.